share this word with you. I believe this word will be life-changing and transformational. So get your Bible, please, and follow along with us, amen, as we get into the Word of God. Father God, and today in Jesus' name, we thank you for your Word. We trust your Word. We honor your Word. We reverence your Word, Lord. We receive your Word not as a word of a man, but the Word of God as in truth. We accept your Word as you, dear Father, God, talking directly to us. And we allow your Word to heal us, to help us, to give us hope, to bring power and anointing to our lives, to be transformational in our faith and in our focus and in our faithfulness. In Jesus' name. We give you all the glory. We give you all of the praise. Amen. 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 All right. Today we're talking about faith as a shield. Faith as a shield. Somebody say that with me. Say faith, as a shield. So last week we talked about faith as a soldier. The week before we talked about, on the first Sunday, we talked about faith as a servant. So we're seeing different aspects or different characteristics in which our faith functions as, or our faith is utilized as. You need to be utilizing your faith as a servant. Amen. Amen. And you need to be utilizing often your faith as a soldier, like a soldier. And today we're going to talk about using your faith as a shield. This is so important for us to use. So our series is the Spirit of Faith, and it says this in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith according to as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. And so notice here the Apostle Paul just didn't say I have it, but he said we have it. And he's quoting from David, the psalmist, the king, in Psalms 116, verse 10. I believe, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly in affliction. But the spirit of faith is not for people who don't want to do nothing. Because if you don't want to do nothing, you just don't do anything. But the spirit of faith is for people who dare to believe God in the face of adversity, affliction, and adversaries. So we talked at length about that, because faith is just not for wimpy people. The spirit of faith is just not for wimpy people. The spirit of faith is just not weak. The spirit of faith is strong. The spirit of faith is tough. The spirit of faith is tough. We always say this phrase, when times get tough, the tough get going. Amen. So people with the spirit of faith stand up in their toughness in the Lord and say, I believe and I'm going to speak. Even in the midst of adversity, affliction, hard times, troubling times, and adversaries, people and opponents who are arrayed against us, demons, devils, or even unwitting people. Amen. And so we said there's two necessary ingredients of the spirit of faith. Let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 4:13 out of the New Living Translation. But if we continue to preach because we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith that the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. Now guess what the spirit of faith will do in us? If we believe in God, we will speak. If you're not believing in God, you will not speak. And we said, when you keep your mouth shut, when you're silent, you lose by default. So Paul was telling us, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit was giving us two necessary ingredients to the spirit of faith. Number one is believing. Number two is speaking. Believing, we said, is an attitude of faith. Believing is an attitude of faith. It's an attitude of confidence in God and in his word. Speaking is the initial and essential act of faith. Believing is an attitude of faith. Speaking is your essential and initial act of faith. Amen. The door to the supernatural, we said, swings on these two hinges, believing and speaking. Now, how do you know that you have the spirit of faith on Monday morning, tomorrow morning? The Lord Terrence is coming. You're awake tomorrow morning. How do you know you're getting ready to go out and take care of your affairs, go to work or whatever? How do you know you have a spirit of faith? You've been believing God and you've been speaking. Amen. Speaking what you believe, speaking the word. See, in the middle of adversity, your faith will get you to your destination. Your faith will get you. I didn't say your feelings will get you. Your faith will get you, ladies and gentlemen. Your faith will bring the manifestation of healing, deliverance, whatever you need. Faith, your faith will make you whole and will keep you whole. As we've said before, in many circumstances, situations, faith works the same in any arena, in any sphere, in any realm. Faith works the same in the financial realm as the healing realm, in the physical realm, in the family realm. Come on now. Faith works the same. The spirit of faith has two ingredients. Guys, we can't make it any more simpler than this. Amen? Faith works the same. The spirit of faith has the same two ingredients, believing and speaking. Everybody say believing and speaking. See, what you believe God for, that's all you'll get. Amen. Nothing more or nothing less. So your faith is your belief in action. So remember, we said it before, if in the financial realm, everyone should be believing God for increase and or income if there's a lack of income. Amen. I got two amens. Amen. Amen. Everybody should be saying praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Because see, this is where it pulls people into a place of challenge, because they say, well, I'm thinking God's going to get it to me if he wants me to have it. Or somebody's going to give it to me if they know I need it. Well, that's not faith. You're trusting in people, and you're trusting in the pressure that you're under to generate some sort of response somehow, some way. Come on now. You got to be believing. What are you believing? We should be believing. And we should be speaking. Now, 1 John 5:4 says, every child of God defeats this evil world, we achieve this victory through our faith. See, we said it before, your faith level determines your victory level. What's the spirit of faith? Believing and speaking. So if you're not believing it or speaking it, your faith level is not there yet. It can't get there. But you got to believe and speak it. So if you know that you are to get to, let's just say this is mark a figure on the wall, $150,000 or more a year. Well, you got to be believing, and you got to be speaking. Amen. And don't look at me in that tone of voice, because God, I know this is back when I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. God told me where my faith was at for finances. He's a good accountant. If he knows the numbers of your hairs, if he knows every inventory number of your hair follicles, he knows where your faith is at. Amen. And he said, your faith is at here. He said, you're going to either put up or shut up. He said, I don't want to hear you complaining. Because I was complaining. Four kids. I got four kids. I got more month than money. You know how you're telling God the problem like he's obscure or he doesn't even know about your problem? You're complaining, you're whining. He said, you either put up or shut up. That's where your faith is at. To get to another level, you got to believe and speak on another level.
Amen.
He said, you can't talk back then it was 30-something thousand a year. You can't talk $35,000 a year, and you need $45,000 a year. You got to believe, and you got to speak. Amen. You got to believe, and you got to speak. Now, it works the same in the healing area. You got to believe. Who you believe in? You believe in God and His Word. That's your attitude of faith. Your confidence is in God and in His what? In His Word. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to help me out this morning. Hallelujah. You got to believe and speak. Hallelujah. Your faith level determines your victory level. Amen. Friends, God will get you to your destination, your deliverance, and your new territories if you maintain a spirit of faith. See, when I believe and I speak, it opens the door to the supernatural. And when I believe and when I speak, the spirit of faith is working. It's not working when I'm not believing or speaking. Amen. Is this simple enough?
Yes.
Now I'm going to go to a scripture that I didn't have in my notes, but the Lord's telling me to do this. I'm going to use this as an illustration. Can everybody see this?
Yes.
All right, so listen to this. We exist in two realms, friends. Now I'm just making it real plain for you. Everybody say, we exist in two realms. Now, this realm over here, where you see my hand, is the natural realm. You can see my hand. It's where everything is seen. This is called, in the Bible, the temporal realm. Now, over in 1 Corinthians 4:13, Paul was saying, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Now, can you see my hand? You can't see it. But is my hand there? Why do you know it's there? Because you believe it. you believe it didn't just magically disappear, but it's there. Amen. So this is seen, temporary realm, unseen, eternal realm, spiritual realm. Listen to me very closely. Listen to me. Faith realm. Because faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So even though you don't see it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And if you have a spirit of faith, friends, you believe that it exists because God's word said it does. And he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Come on now. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. His word will never fail. That word is your evidence. It is your confirmation that it exists.
Hallelujah.
Now let's look at this scripture here. If you turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2, number 1, verse 16. Talking about Christ's preeminence here. But let's pull the scripture out and let's work it a little bit. Just a little bit. And we'll get back to faith as a shield. Are y'all here with me? Say amen if you're there with me.
Amen.
I'm giving you a chance. Say amen online if you're there. Hallelujah. For by him you were, all things were created and that were in where? Heaven and on earth. That means in Christ. Visible, invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and what? For him. Now let's get back to my illustration. Everybody here with me?
Yes.
So he said, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are unseen. And he said that affliction, he called it light, and he said it's momentary. Now, if you're looking right here, look at me right here, my hand. If you're looking right here, if you're looking at the natural, let's just say finances. Let's just use that for example. You're looking at the lack. You're looking at the limitations. You're looking at the not enough money. You're looking at what? The seen. See, the invisible realm or the spiritual realm was first. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Amen? So how did he create everything? From himself. He's the invisible God. So you got to believe in the spirit realm. The spirit realm is the preeminent realm. It's the priority realm. It is the realm that overrides, overruns, and oversees the natural realm. It is the realm of God. Now, God saw everything from the end to the beginning. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures to think about it financially. What did he say? 3 John 2. He said, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things, even as your soul prospers. Now, what does he mean? That means through your life's journey, he says there's more than enough. The word enduo, the word prosper in all things, prosper. Enduo means a surplus, an excess, a supply that is given to you that is so much that it's more than enough for you to complete your life assignment along your life's journey. That means God saw your whole journey. The Bible even says in Psalms 103, he's written your life story in a book. Do you know he has a book about you? It's written, his own written plan. He wrote down. And so we think, well, God's not seeing that this need I have. This broke this. This busted that. This, I had to borrow this. You're looking here. Your faith is focused on here. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And so what happens? God says, I've got your name, all your whole life story in a book. And he knew how long your life would be. He knew how your journey in life would have to entail. And as a great father and a good father that he is, he's supplied everything you will ever need right up front. Now, one of the psalmists says it this way. He said, he led us to our wealthy place. So over here, you can't see it, right? Your needs are all supplied.
Amen.
Over here, you have wealth beyond your wildest dreams.
Praise God.
Now, you don't see it, but you got to do what to activate it and get you from over here, get it from over here to over here. What's it called? Faith. Faith is the legal tender that transfers the unseen realities of hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The unseen realities of hope into the realm of reality. Because my God shall supply what? All your what? Need. Come on now. Everything you need over here, according to his what? Riches, where are they?
In glory.
The riches are in the glory. You don't see them, but you got to believe them and you got to speak them. That's why you got to say, my God meets all my needs. The money will come. Somebody say, glory to God. You're not drawing on money that you in your account, because if you're looking in your account, all you're seeing is this. That's not faith. That's facts.
Amen.
Faith speaks the truth, which is over here, higher realm,
yes.
Faith realm.
Amen.
It speaks the truth into the facts.
Amen.
And it changes these facts. That's why he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Your faith level will determine your victory level.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. For every disease or every symptom or sickness that will come into your life experience, what did he say? 1 Peter 2:24. By whose stripes you what? were healed. When were you healed? In the spirit, because there's no time, there's no distance. So God can provide for your healing eons and years of eons and decades and millennia and centuries ago. And it still affects you today. Because all physical healing is spiritual. So when he took the stripes on his back for yours and my healing, he can take care of it and say, well, it's already taken care of. Every disease, every diagnosis, every debilitation, come on now, everything that comes against you, he has already provided.
Hallelujah.
He created all things by Christ, through Christ. Amen. In Christ and for Christ. So you're never at a lost cause. So when you're in this situation over here and you're wigging out and falling out and flaking out and saying, well, this is bad, this is horrible, this is rough and tough, you got to get a spirit of faith. Come on now. And believe and speak that if I'm here, God will meet my needs where I'm here according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on now. If I'm here, that my God shall supply. He is my source. And he's my only source. He's more than enough than what I need. That's why the prophet Elijah had to tell his prophet, his servant Gehazi, he said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. We got to open up our spiritual eyes.
Amen.
The eye of faith, so that we see what says the word. According to the word of God, what? My needs are met.
Amen.
Now let me talk to those that struggle with tithing. Zoom that camera up to me. Some of you that struggle with giving. Because, see, you wouldn't struggle with giving and tithing if you saw over here.
Amen.
Through revelation knowledge in the Word.
Amen.
That every need is met with heaven's very best.
Amen.
God's not going to just fill my cup. He's going to run it over. Come on now. It's going to be good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. That's why he said the blessing of the Lord, it makes us what? Rich and adds no sorrow with it. And in other words, I don't have to work for it. I don't have to sweat for it. I don't have to spend 50 years for it. Come on now. Trying to save up for it. The blessing of the Lord, it makes me rich, abundantly supplied. Come on now. He said in Psalms 112, wealth and riches will be in my house.
Amen.
Now, a lot of people don't believe it, so they don't say it.
Because
they say, the facts are, Pastor, I don't have wealth and riches. I got a bunch of junk. I got old clothes. Well, you're trusting yourself as your source.
That's right.
You're trusting other things as your source. You're looking at your job as your source. You're looking at your paycheck as your limit. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Y'all getting something out of that?
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to charge you for that. It's a little extra. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet for the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Everybody say the shield of faith.
The shield of faith.
With which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful unto this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praise the Lord. So first, I want you to notice the two directives here and imperatives for us to win this battle that the enemy hurls at us. If you didn't know it already, I want you to know it right now, that we're at war. You're in a battle. The devil doesn't take a day off. You've heard me say that many a times before. And he's constantly trying to do two things to all of us. He's either trying to make you bad or make you busy. And so he's either trying to pollute you through sin and disobedience and rebellion, or he's trying to dilute you. He's trying to pollute you or dilute you. He gets you so stretched, so thin that your faith is basically null and void and ineffective. You got so much, your faith is neutralized or negated. That's how he does when he dilutes you. He makes you so busy that you broke and lost your focus, your faith's focus. So the first directive is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, this, friends, is your spiritual action. So he never told us to man up, woman up, be strong. No, you start misplacing strength when you start putting your strength in man or in yourself. Because the Lord is your strength. Psalms 127:1 says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 46:1 tells us what? God is our refuge and our strength. Amen? A very present help in trouble. He's our strength. Everybody say, God is my strength. He's the one that gives you inner strengthening. Real strength is spiritual strength, not physical strength and stamina, because physical strength and stamina will only last for a short period of time. I mean, you just have to watch a football game. You see those guys get tired. They have to come out of the game. No NFL player or NBA player, for that much, is very good if they played the game the whole minutes allotted, because they're pretty much tired and exhausted. Can some of our guys witness to that? So none of us have infinite, eternal strength in and of ourselves.
That's right.
So your spiritual strength is so important because it's a spiritual battle that you're in. I'll say it again. Your spiritual strength is so important because it's a spiritual battle that you're in.
Amen.
Where is the battle? In the spirit.
Amen.
You're not at peace, friends. You're at war. Now, we can talk, well, America's at war with other countries. Yeah, we're at war as a country. No, but we as a kingdom, as kingdom citizens, we are at war with the enemy of our soul. So the first imperative is for us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Strong in who?
The Lord.
In the Lord. And empowered by what? His might. Amplified says, draw your strength from your union with Christ, the same strength which his boundless might provides. His boundless might provides you strength. Everybody say,
He gives me strength.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 tells us that he gives power. God does give power. Verse 29, to the faint and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. We need to get our strength increased by the strengthening of the Lord. And second directive is this. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, those are soul actions. Now, spiritual actions are for your spirit, your spiritual condition, your spiritual strength and stamina. The second one is for your soul area. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Because why is that so important? First, he says it because we have to be able to stand against the wiles and what? Devices and the deceptions of the devil. We have to be able to stand against it. Wiles is a word that means cunning, arts, deceit, craft, or trickery. In other words, we call it this way, mind games. Mind games. Now, why do you need a faith shield? Because the devil's coming at you every day with mind games. Trickery of the mind. Okay. Second, we are not to be ignorant of the devil's devices or mind games. 2 Corinthians 2:11 tells us, lest Satan should take advantage of us. Now, friends, don't decide today, the devil is not going to take advantage of me.
Amen.
For we are not ignorant of his devices. The word, Greek word, means mind games, trickery of the mind, tricks, where you believe the lie and you abandon truth. That's his whole mode of operation and objective, is to get you to believe the lie and abandon truth.
Amen.
Oh, this is good stuff today.
Yes.
He said strong, be strong, which is a Greek word that means an empowering or an inner strengthening. It conveys the idea of being infused with such an excessive dose of dynamic inner strength and ability. The word portrays a power that is being deposited into something. So you need to go to God and get deposited in Christ with his great strength. Praise God.
Praise God.
Where? In your spirit. Because we're especially, specifically, and specially designed to be receptacles of God's power. See, he's unlimited. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent.
Amen.
But we're not. We have to be charged up with his power. Just like, you know, when your battery's about to die, you know, I got to go charge my phone. Well, you got to go charge up your spirit with God's power. Amen. The Greek tense of this word in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians is a present passive imperative. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. That means that the Holy Spirit is not simply suggesting that we receive this power. The Holy Spirit is commanding us to receive it and receive it as soon as possible. We need it more so today. I think it's a more urgency and a more asterisk put behind this command today than ever war was in history. We need strong, powerful Christian believers and Christ followers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit's strong and authoritative appeal is basically saying this to us. Be infused with supernatural strength and ability. Be empowered by the special touch of God's strength. You must receive this inner strengthening. Why is that? Because he knows that we need to receive this power before we in our engagement with the unseen forces that will commence in our lives. Now, we don't have time to teach on it, but chapter 6, 10 through 18, with the verses we just read, it tells about three different levels. He said, wiles, daily stuff that you deal with. Mind games, tricks of the mind. Then he says, stand against the evil day. So he's talking about the evil day. That means there's going to come bad days. How many have had bad days before? Down days, dark days. It looked like, man, all H-E-double-L broke loose today. Hallelujah. It was a rough week. You know, anybody ever said that?
Sure.
Anybody ever known that? Yes. I'm not alone. Praise God. And then he says, take the shield of faith against the fiery darts. So there's times when the devil seems like he's rapid firing or machine gun firing into your mind. And your emotions are weighted down with the intensity of the conflict. You need it. Before you engage with the devil, you got to get in power. You got to power up. Everybody say power up.
Power up.
With his strength. So without the Holy Spirit's power, the power of the Holy Spirit operating in us, none of us can be a match against Satan's schemes or devices. If you don't get powered up, he's going to overpower you. If you don't get powered up, the devil's going to overpower you.
Amen.
Where does this spiritual engagement and battle take place? It's between your ears. Between your ears. This explains why our faith is as a shield. And so it is so vitally, vitally important, because when your faith is up, your shield, as a shield, you are empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit to quench all the flaming missiles and fiery darts of the devil and the demons. Why? Because if the devil can defeat you in the mind, he can defeat you If he can defeat you in the mind, he can defeat you. Now, where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. Thoughts precede our actions. And our feelings are controlled by our thoughts and not by our environment or our circumstances. Our feelings are controlled by our thoughts, not by our environment or our circumstances. So we're feeling broke, we're feeling burdened, we're feeling miserable. Why? Because we have miserable thoughts.
Amen.
Amen. Feelings are controlled by thoughts. See, with your faith shield up, now we're not talking about in the Roman classic history, the shield was like a body shield. It was not like a little bitty old hand brace or hand guard. It was a thing that would cover up your whole body. Now, you can think about this for your whole life. Does your faith operate as a shield to cover up everything concerning your life? Now, I'm talking about your physically, spiritually, relationally, financially. You need your faith shield up to cover up your whole, every area and every arena of your life.
Amen.
Get your shield up. Get your faith up. Because with your faith up, nothing won't stick to you and nothing won't burn you.
Amen.
He said you'll be able to quench, extinguish all, not some, not even most, all of the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Now, where is he firing those darts at? They're coming right in here. And the word devil, wicked, you know, wicked one, same thing, devil. Devil is the word diablos. We know that. And it means two compound words in the Greek, which means to make a hole or to penetrate. And he's coming one way, and he's coming down one road. What way is that? What road is that? That's the roadway of your mind. And where is he trying to penetrate? He's trying to penetrate your mind so he can put his destructive thoughts and leave them there like landmines. And so once his destructive, harmful, illegitimate, toxic thoughts get in your soul, he can defeat you. And they'll take up what they call mental real estate and create temporary brain damage, so to speak, where you're not even thinking rationally. You're not even thinking right. You end up getting stinking thinking. You end up feeling stinky. Why? Because the devil has left some stink bombs in your brain. Come on now. Y'all see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
But with your shield up, nothing won't get in. Nothing won't stick in or stay in. And nothing won't burn your mind.
Amen.
Somebody say,
glory to God.
Nothing won't break down your mind. Now, this word power, let's look at this for a minute. This is the word kratos, which means Greek word. Demonstrative power, demonstrative, eruptive, or tangible. It's resurrection power in its finest. Ephesians 1:19 and 20 says, for what is the exceeding greatness of his power? He wants us to know this. He wants us to experience this resurrection power. See, some people think, well, resurrection, oh, that's not until Easter, sometime April, March time frame, when Lenten season starts and all that stuff. Mama, get that out of your brain. Resurrection is for your life every day.
Amen.
You need to live lifted by resurrection power on a regular basis. He said, be strong, my brother, in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Hallelujah.
And so he wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
Amen.
Far above in principality power, might, dominion, rulership. So Kratos power refers to the strongest flow of power that exists in the entire universe. Now, most people miss their power up. because they think resurrection is every once in a while or once a year on Easter. But resurrection power is available every day and even in difficult moments of your day. Amen. The power comes to enable us to accomplish some type of superhuman task. Because remember, you're not dealing with a natural opponent. The Bible says, we just read it, we do not wrestle against who? Flesh. Now, you might think that spouse, that husband, that wife is your problem. You might think those kids are your problem. They are not your problem. Let me correct you a little bit right now in love. People are not your problem. You say, people are not my problem. Some people get so mad at the president. Some people get so mad at other people. Some people get so mad at politicians. People are not your problem. He said, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But five times he tells us, against. What is the Holy Spirit telling you? You're not coming up against conflict and a battle against people. You're coming up against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, high places. You're dealing with unseen opponents. But the good news is this: they are spiritually dead. They have been spiritually defeated. And why is our faith still so important? Because in the faith realm, in the unseen realm, you can beat the devil 100 times out of 100 if you hold him, not in this realm, not in the feeling realm, not in the reason realm or the mental realm. Keep him in the faith realm, and you can defeat him 100 times out of 100. He said, with the faith shield up, he said, you can quench all the fiery dart. That means he's got some special weapon he's trying to put against you and manufacture against you. He said, I'm going to defeat you this time. And that thing just poofs out. Why? Because your faith seals up. Your faith seal is up. Praise the Lord. Now let's talk about this winning the battle of the mind. Our armor is not made out of metal. When he said, put on the whole armor of God. It's made out of only of Bible knowledge. It's only when the information on the pages of God's word become real that it will change your life. A scarcity mindset destroys perspective, but an abundant mindset empowers perspective. Because if you stay over here, friends, listen to me. Here's my illustration again. If you stay over here, you're going to have a scarcity mindset. That's right. You're going to have what we call a fixed mindset. You're going to think, it's fixed. This thing is rigged. Like many people think about different playoff games or whatever. It's rigged. No, it's not fixed. It's not rigged. God has taken care of it by faith, and faith is your victory. Amen. That means there is victory in every situation and every circumstance. And every problem, every pain, every predicament, there is 100% victory that you can experience through your faith. But see, faith is not in that realm. Faith is over here in the spiritual realm. Amen. That's why your record could be 100 for 100. Amen. 120 for 120. If you stay in the faith realm, and what is the spirit of faith? Believing and speaking. And today we're talking about faith as a shield. So it's up so that nothing that the devil throws at you will stick to you, and nothing that the devil puts at you will burn you or break you down. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So a fixed mindset steeped in religion, religious rules, and man-made traditions and legalism will keep your focus broken and your thoughts confused and chaotic. Because why? You're just in the reason realm. You're in the mental realm. You're trying to figure it out. A growth mindset of faith and expectancy and hope keeps your focus clear and your confidence in the Lord's victorious and delivering power. You have confidence in God's victorious and delivering power. So whenever you think, whatever you think about grows. Amen. That's why putting on the whole armor of God is so important. That's why we said earlier, before we came online, everybody needs to get their word level up. Why? Because you need to get your faith level up. Whatever you think about, you bring about. Amen. What's on your mind? Faith follows your focus. Faith follows your focus. Faith follows your focus. Don't focus on what you're going through, but what you're going to. Notice when people tell their story, they're talking about what they're going through. They don't talk about what they're going to. This is a big key. So two questions to help us focus as we close this down. Your thoughts are the compass that guides the ship of your life into the port of your desire. I'll say it again. Your thoughts are the compass that guide the ship of your life into the port of your desire. So what do you focus on? Because faith follows your focus. Every thought that you agree with becomes a powerful magnet, drawing your life into drawing into your life the manifested reality of the picture it holds. If you're thinking broke, don't think you're going to break out of poverty. If you're thinking poverty, don't ever think that you're going to get out of prosperity, get into prosperity. Because he said he wants us to prosper even as our what?
Soul prospers.
To get to another level, you got to think on another level.
Amen.
Why does it hinge on your thinking? Because your thinking determines your believing, and your believing determines your behavior of speaking and acting. If you think wrong, you're going to believe wrong. Then you're going to talk wrong, and things are going to go wrong.
Amen.
But you can turn it around, and you can think right. Come on now. And then you can start
believing right.
And things will go right in your life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every thought that you agree with becomes a powerful magnet drawing into your life the manifested reality of the picture it holds. Listen to this. Your future success is created by your present focus. So if we took inventory right now, starting that brother in the back, and say, okay, what are you focusing on? And if you focus on nothing, guess what your future is? Nothing. See, focus is a clarity of your vision. In other words, it's a preferred future which you are harnessing your faith for. Man, this is worth you coming to church this morning. Worth you being online today. See, your future success is created by your present focus. That's when God shook me up and said, you're not believing me for a pay raise or a promotion. Why? Because I wasn't focused on it. When I got focused on it, less than 2 weeks later, the promotion came. The big pay raise came. Your future success is determined by your present focus. Freedom is an internal journey, not at the absence of external torment. Because most people look at the things seen. And Paul said, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporary or subject to change. But the things that are not seen are what? Eternal. That means they're permanent and everlasting.
Amen.
They won't change. Faith works in that unseen realm. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. What are you saying? So we're talking about focus, and we're talking about your words, believing and speaking. You must never give life to what God has put to death. God didn't make any of us as his children broke and poor. So if you're talking about how broke you are, stop it. Because you're putting to life what God has put to death. If you're talking about, I don't have enough, you talk about how sick you are, how bad you feel, you talk about your fears, God has said 365 times, fear not, do not be afraid, do not fear. Come on now, he did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So, amen.
What are you saying?
Hallelujah.
What you say is what you get. What you've got is what you said.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, the enemy puts roadblocks up to our receiving. See, here's what he does. He puts, as I'm closing, thoughts, ideas, not God ideas, not even good ideas. They may even smell like good ideas or look like good ideas, ideas and suggestions. But they're all outside of Christ and outside of the will of God for your life because there's no truth in him. Jesus said there's no truth. So he's coming in with a bag of tricks and a bunch of lies to get you to transfer your faith in God to your trust in what you feel and see circumstantially. So you say, well, I got to make something happen. I'm not making any money. I'm not getting any money. I'm broke. I got to do something. When God has already done something.
Amen.
Over here. Your dilemma, your circumstance didn't catch God off guard. He's not surprised. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my child. What? Oh, my. That's a surprise to me. No, he's already seen ahead.
Amen.
He's already sent provision of victory, triumph, and blessings along your life's way. But you got to believe it and you got to speak it. So here's some of the things he brings. I'm just exposing some of his evil works. Misinformation, lies, deception, delusions, ignorance. That means no knowledge or lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 tells us that. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. That's a battle phrase. Destruction is a battle terminology. Isaiah 5:13 says it this way. My people have gone into captivity. Again, another battle phraseology or terminology. Captivity. Why? Because they have no knowledge. See, ignorance is not good. See, if we don't know what the word says, we're going to be ignorant. Because when the word says something different than what you're seeing and feeling and experiencing, then you won't believe what God's word says because you don't know it. Laziness. He'll tell you to be idle, negligent, and slothful. Don't read your Bible. You don't need to read your Bible. You're too busy today. You got too much to do. You got to run everybody around town all day. Come on now. You ain't got time to read your Bible. You ain't time to speak the word. Come on. You're too busy. God knows your schedule is really filled up. And you're just being a lazy faith bum. All right, let's keep going. Hallelujah. Misperception, a false or inaccurate perception, meaning perception is the mental image or concept. You have a wrong mental image of or concept, and you don't have clarity. Instead, it's a skewed, blurry, or marred focus. And then, of course, the bad one, false doctrine. He teaches you. God's trying to teach you something by you being sick. God must want you to stay home because you're tired. You don't feel good, so stay home from church. Why you let those thoughts prevail and pervade and invade your mind? They defeat you from being where you need to be and being who you have been created to be.
Amen.
You're taking care of business for God. You know, the Hebrew word for businessman in the Hebrew is man of faith. You and I are supposed to be men and women of faith. That's our main business. You're supposed to live by faith, walk by faith, talk by faith, act by faith, respond to situations by faith. You need to keep your faith shield up because the battle is not yours but God's, but you keep the sticks and stones from breaking your bones. Come on now. The devil's hurling thoughts, ideas, and suggestions at you, and you got to keep your faith up. Not your fist up or your fuss up. You got to keep your faith up.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so we'll talk about the other components of this. How do we deal with this practically? I got it in the notes, but we'll get it later. But praise God. Y'all get something out of that today?
Amen.
Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you
for giving us transformational truths today so that we know we got to orient our faith to function fully as a shield over all of our lives, affairs, activities, assignments, and alignments. Father, you called us to be faithful and fruitful in this time. And Father, I thank you that there will be Holy Ghost faith activation in many of the lives of these your precious people, where we've laid down our faith, where we've lost faith battles because we yielded to fear or yielded to the flesh or yielded and being succumbed by our feelings and we've been tricked in our minds. We ask you to help us. I ask you to heal those who have being shattered and being a little bit scattered in their faith. Help heal them and get them back up in faith. Be like Peter was with Jesus when Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But he told him,